Welcome to Ulcerative Colitis, Autoimmune Healing Journey. I am your journey guide, Jay India, and I'm so happy that you are here because this is a supportive, positive environment where we can heal together. Please note, I am not a doctor or health professional in any way. If you would like to attempt something mentioned in this episode, please consult your doctor or mental health professional first. Before we get to the episode, so far I've given you 2 years of free content, so please support this podcast by giving me a 5-star rating wherever you listen and a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And always remember to hit the follow button so new apps pop up on your podcast player automatically. Let's start the show. Hey guys, today we are talking about my new favorite subject, which is water fasting or water-only fasting. And I did a 10-day water fast from March 11th, 2024 to March 21st, 2024. And you are going to hear about it today. I am doing this in two parts because I'm still waiting for some results in order to do part two, because I want to give you my results in part two. I had bioenergetic testing done right after by Jessica Johnson, and I also had blood work done with Dr. Pegg to see the results of this water fast, and so I could have tangible results to tell all of you. Even though I have the disclaimer at the beginning of this episode, I just want to say that if you would like to attempt water fasting, or anything mentioned in this episode, consult with a health professional first. Always have a health professional supervise any and all fasts you may attempt. First, I want to tell you what water fasting is. Water fasting or water-only fasting is when you only drink water. That's it. No food, no supplements. I did pure water fasting where I did not do electrolytes. I did not do a little bit of juice. I did not do potassium supplements, none of that. I just did straight water fasting. I cannot say enough. It is not for everyone. It is not for the faint of heart. And that is something I realized afterward. And what I did was along this 10-day journey, I decided to journal about it and turn it into a PDF where I talk about every single day what I went through. And then at the end, I talk about all my insights of my post-fasting and how it was actually challenging to come back to normal after post-fasting. And then I discuss my results in detail, and I put this in a PDF, my 10-day water fasting journal. It is available on my store. You can buy it because I need to keep finding ways to financially support this podcast. So if you buy this PDF, then it not only is for you and your information, but it also helps support me. And why I think this PDF is such a big deal is because when I researched water fasting, I could not find any journals. It was so hard. I found two decent ones, but even them, they weren't very good. So I cannot express enough that this journal, if you're interested in water fasting or you just want to learn about it, is such an amazing resource. And it's not because I wrote it or I'm so great or anything like that. It's because I am telling you right now, you will not find anything better on the internet. You really won't. If that's something you're interested in, just go to my store and you will see it right there. And I will put a link in the show notes. So today I just want to do part one, which is my summary of water fasting and some insights I had from it and why I did it and the whole thing. For some reason, I had not seen a movie called Fasting the Movie on Gaia TV. You know, guys know I love Gaia TV. I watch it all the time. I do my yoga there. I do some meditations there. I watch the documentaries. It's $99 a year still to get the app. But if you guys, you're like, you know what, I'm just not interested in it, but I do want to watch Fasting the Movie after listening to me. What you can do is Gaia TV has a free 7-day trial. Go on, put your credit card in, watch the movie by day 6 and just cancel. So this movie just resonated to my core. And in it, when you watch it, they talk over and over about how water fasting can heal IBD permanently. Permanently. Now, this is not everyone, but in a good amount of cases, this has happened. And I thought that was just so interesting because I had never heard that before. And the other reasoning behind why I did a water fast was around February, March 2024, I felt that I was 80, 85% better compared to the 2021 flare, but I wasn't fully healed. I wasn't asymptomatic. And, you know, that's what everyone hopes to be. I was still having these symptoms of toe neuropathy and electric shock sometimes in my head. And after I would eat certain things in my gut area, my liver, my stomach. So I've been, you know, happy with my results, extremely happy. But I was also a little disappointed. I thought I would be farther on, especially with the leaky gut symptoms. You know, I was still not being able to eat gluten. I was still having a restricted diet. And I just wasn't happy with that. So from my research, I learned that it often takes people with chronic illnesses like UC who are successful with water fasting at least two fasts of 21 to 40 days each to heal completely. That is such a long time without food. But then I learned after researching more that actually you can do it more like 7 days, 10 days, 7 days. So you can do multiple fasts as well. How does a person with chronic illness become permanently healed with a long water fast or a series of water fasts? According to experts, around day four of water fasting, autophagy begins. ClevelandClinic.org says autophagy allows your body to break down and reuse old cell parts so your cells can operate more efficiently. It's a natural cleaning out process that begins when your cells are stressed or deprived of nutrients. Researchers are studying autophagy's role in potentially preventing and fighting disease. So in other words, it's a reset for your cells and aids the growth of new immune stem cells. With chronic illnesses like IBD, autoimmune, and cancer, the longer water fasts or series of water fasts can give the body the chance to heal completely. How? This is so important, guys, and this is the reason why I decided to go through with this 10-day water fast. Digestion of food expends most of our body's energy. Once the body is not consumed with digestion, around day four of the fast, it switches to autophagy. For a relatively healthy person, a four-day fast may be the perfect length. But for those of us with chronic illness, the longer fasts are usually necessary to plunge deep into the tissue and pull out the stubborn cells causing disease. So my goal then turned into to rid my body of these bad or diseased cells. And I figured if I can turn off the IBD mold toxicity blueprint in my cells, then what happens? The disease is gone. So I said, why not take a chance at it? And also, you guys know, I've been going through the whole protocol with Dr. Pegg, and it's been amazing, and she is amazing. And I've been doing, you know, the binder and the nasal sprays to eliminate all of the mold toxins and nasal toxins in my body, and it has worked incredibly well, which you're going to hear about later. But I also felt that intuitively, I needed something else. Just something a little more, I hate to say the word extreme, but a little more extreme to get my body working the way it should be working. And so with this in mind, I went on this whole researching extravaganza, researched water fasting for weeks, decided it was for me, and I went ahead and I did it. Now, before starting the fast, I just want to outline my goals. And that is to rid my body of any remaining mold toxicity and IBD symptoms, to heal symptoms of leaky gut, to stop restricting my food and start being much more expansive and inclusive in my healthy eating lifestyle, to return to the normal range of certain blood tests. Now, this one, the last one's really interesting. Because I haven't been in the normal range since 2021 because of my flare for these blood tests: red blood cell count, hemoglobin, candida, leptin, TGF, B1, that is human transforming growth factor beta 1, and the biggest test of all for IBD and mold toxicity sufferers, MSH, melanocyte stimulating hormone. And MSH is huge for us. And Allie came on a couple episodes ago and she explained it so well that basically, according to mind.org, MSH regulates gut lining permeability. And all of us with IBD have low MSH, and that is a huge problem. So in other words, if the MSH is low, the gut lining is severely compromised and opens a person to a host of illnesses, leaky gut, UC, IBD, etc. So that was a big goal of mine during this water fast. Can I get my MSH up? Another thing that I knew I wanted to do was immediately following this water fast, I had follow-up bioenergetic testing with my naturopath, Jessica Johnson. You guys know her. I think she's episode 45. And with Dr. Pegg to perform the aforementioned blood test to see if I've achieved successful results. If I'm successful, especially with regard to MSH, this could be life-changing, not only for me, but for you guys as well. So I am still waiting on how many of the results? I want to say 5 of the results. So I cannot do the second part of this topic until I get those results. And I'm hoping to get them this week. And then we can do part 2. So just know that. Also know that it was my original intention to complete a 21-day water fast. However, something happened. I had to stop on day 10 for reasons of safety and mental health. And I detail exactly what happened in this journal that you can buy in my store. Yeah, so when you read the journal, you will read things like, oh, I can't wait till day 21, but I did stop on day 10. But I just wanted to say that you guys, this was not the experience I thought it was going to be. I was very ignorant, and I wanted to get a consultation with Talis Barker, who's the water fasting expert on waterfasting.org, and he was months out from a consultation, and I couldn't believe it, and I said, oh my God, who plans a water fast that far out? And after doing it, I will tell you, that's the only way to do it. You can't just be like, okay, I've been reading about water fasting for a few weeks, and now I'm just going to go hardcore without any sort of detailed plan. And I really didn't. I mean, in fact, my husband had left for a business trip, and I was left to manage the farm and the dogs all by myself, which normally obviously is not a big deal. But when you're water fasting and you're exhausted and you're weak and you're not eating and you are detoxing, it is not the most pleasant thing at all. So that's the first thing I would say, is definitely plan out a water fast. If you can, get it very supervised to where you can go to one of these water fasting clinics, which I'll talk about later. So long story short, I was expecting like all this. Oh my gosh, I'm just going to have this incredible spiritual, metaphysical experience. And it wasn't like that, not even a little bit. Most of the time, I was zombie-like. I was absolutely exhausted. I had no energy. And of course, after I end the fast, I meet someone who knows people who fast a lot and do water fasts. And she said, oh yeah, you're pretty much not going to work. You're just lying around the house. You can barely do anything. Now, I had read online 2 water fasting journals, one being Talis Barker, where they say, oh, on day 4, I have so much energy. I'm starting to run and I'm doing this and I feel great and I don't have hunger pangs and I feel so awake and alive and I've been sleeping so well. I did not find that to be the case at all. I had horrible insomnia. And I've met people now who say, okay, the first 3 days of the water fast, they sleep like a baby. I did not get that at all. I've noticed with myself every time I detox or I'm sick, I don't sleep. And I think because my body was detoxing, it was just going through its normal, we don't sleep cycle. So I was having a lot of cold symptoms, sore throat, acid reflux, really clogged, stuffy head, really scratchy voice. Sounded like I have a cold. You know, when my husband called me, he's like, oh, you have a cold. I said, no, it's not a cold. It's detoxing. Now, I felt fine. I knew I wasn't sick, but, you know, again, between the insomnia and the lethargy. And by the way, you have a lot of rapid heartbeat too, which I know would scare people. So you just have to move past that if you can. So I had a lot of that as well. It was just really, really trying. I did a lot of sitting around the house. I did a lot of watching fun movies, some TV, listening to fun podcasts. And I thought I was going to be doing all these meditations and, I don't know, being one with God and the universe and Buddha and who the hell knows. And it wasn't like that, not even for a second. So I just want to be really honest, because when you go online and you read about water fasting, what you're going to read most likely is experienced water fasters who have been doing this for years and years. And by the time they've done their fourth or 10th water fast, yeah, that is the case. They do have these whole, the trees are singing to me and all of that, but I did not get that even in the least. So I just want to let you know about that and be honest about that. It was just a very uncomfortable, tough situation. Also, they say by day four, latest by day seven, that your hunger pangs will go away, your tummy rumblings. I, again, did not find that to be true. I found to be not starving, but hungry at certain times throughout. I will say that the first 4 days, I had food cravings and then they subsided. So that was really good. But overall, it was just a really tough, tough 10 days for me. And I was going for it. I was on day eight. On day eight, I had a consult from True North Health Center. That is the prestigious fasting and water fasting clinic located in Santa Rosa, California. It is the one featured in Fasting the Movie. Unknowingly, I chose a consult with Dr. Celia Vares, who is featured in the movie. So that was kind of exciting. And when I filled out the intake form, I realized I misunderstood the consult. It's more for finding out information about True North and water fasting and if I'm the right fit for the clinic. So I knew I would have to ask my questions to her in a way that answers all of my questions for the current water fast. And I had no problem doing that because the consult costs $190 for 40 minutes, which is a lot of money. And so I felt comfortable extracting the information I needed combined with learning about True North. Dr. Vares was so kind and so enthusiastic. I can't say enough about her. And she has been the supervising doctor for 10 years at True North with thousands of fasters under her care. And she told me, that I found this really interesting, that a water fast for IBD and mold toxicity should last between 21 to 30 days to make a difference. However, she also said I was really advanced for this stage of IBD and mold toxicity because she said that most people who come to the clinic with both, they don't realize they have mold toxicity at all. So they haven't gone through this huge protocol that I've gone through. They haven't done the binders or the nasal sprays or changed their lifestyle or done healthy eating or gone to a therapist to address trauma or any of that. They haven't done any of it. So she said they start at a very different point than me. And she said, I'm much more advanced or far along. So in saying that, I'm not sure that I would need the 21 to 30 days. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. Of course, there's an exception and I'm an exception because I'm so small. And I know most of you are like me. You're very thin and you do not have weight to lose. I'm 5'1". I started out this fast around 104 pounds. And during the fast, you lose a pound a day. Dr. Vares said that's normal. I had read that you level out around day 10, and she said, absolutely not. So that was wrong on the internet too. She said, if you do a 21-day fast, you're losing 21 pounds. So that was scary to learn. And she said that you have to stay in the 18% body mass index range. If you drop below it, that's when it starts getting dangerous. You might have to begin the refeeding process. Another big part of this is she asked me if I could easily gain the weight back, and I said yes, which I did. So that was okay too. But then I started dropping below that 18% BMI. And most Americans, for example, are overweight. So if they lose 21 pounds, if they lose 30 pounds, they have it to lose. Most of us don't. So you really have to keep that in mind as well. And she also said, don't come in with expectations for a water fast. She said she sees people who are just zombies during the whole thing. They never experience anything spiritual or metaphysical or anything like that. She has seen fasters on a 30-day water fast who finally feel relief from pain on day 30. So it's good to know. You never know what's going to happen. On day 9, I had an absolute game changer and an absolute tragedy that occurred that made me stop the fast. And also, I was getting dangerously low. I was dropping to an unsafe BMI. I was getting down to 17%. And I said, okay, let me stop this. So for my mental health and my safety, I ended the fast on the next day, day 10, and I went into the refeeding period. You cannot just start eating what you want after a longer fast. You can't just be like, okay, let me go to McDonald's. Let me get a steak. That's extreme, but let me start eating my chickpea salad. It doesn't work like that. You have to start usually refeeding with oranges. Vegetable broth is what I did. Then every day you add in something new. So for a 7 to 10 day fast, it's usually a 5-day refeeding period, which I did. And each day you add in a few new things, but you have to eat very carefully because if you don't, you get something called refeeding syndrome. And what you could do is give yourself a heart attack because the body cannot handle this just huge amount of food after you haven't been eating. And if you've ever read anything about Holocaust survivors, the ones who were able to manage their refeeding after they were liberated from the camps did well and were able to survive somewhat, right? Not everyone, but were mostly able to survive versus the ones who just went hardcore and just started eating and binging, and understandably so, of course, but a lot of those people died. So that's why refeeding is such a big deal. And I have to tell you, the refeeding has not been easy as well. Now, I got through the 5 days of refeeding. Okay. I'm not going to say I did great. You'll read about it in the PDF. I did, again, okay, not amazing. I definitely did not put myself in danger of a heart attack or anything like that, but I ate some more calories each day than I probably should have eaten. But that's the way it goes. But I was fine. I felt fine. But I have to say that the 3 weeks after I did the fast, it was still not easy to get back to a normal lifestyle, to have normal energy. And that's something that shocked me, is it has been a struggle. I have had several days after the refeeding period where I was binge eating. I was just eating everything. I was starving. I was trying to get my body back. It lost so many minerals and electrolytes and the whole thing. So that's been a struggle for me. And luckily that ended a few days ago, and I'm happy to report that. So it's been a month of dealing with this water fast. I thought it was going to be just so easy and I'd have energy and I'd feel great. And it just hasn't been like that. So post fast, I have been feeling, now that it's been, well, it's been almost a month since the start of the fast, I do feel good. I do feel better. And I do have some phenomenal results to report that I am going to report in hopefully next week's episode. If I don't get the results, it'll be another week, but I'm hoping it's going to be next week's episode in part two. I am going to talk about my results one by one, and then you guys can also think about, okay, I've listened to part one, I've listened to part two. Is this something that I would like to incorporate to have some really astounding results for my IBD, my UC, my mold toxicity, my heavy metal toxicity, whatever your root cause is? It's just something to think about. The other thing I forgot to mention at the beginning of this episode is I used alkaline water for my water fast because I do not like the idea of distilled water, because distilled water takes out the life force, the prana, the chi. And I wanted to have water that had that life force in it. So that's what I chose to do. And that seemed to work really well for me personally. But yeah, so I wanted to give you a little teaser, guys, for my results episode for next week. And that is, I have not been in the normal range of red blood cell count and hemoglobin since 2021. And I have done everything, right? I've done the protocol. I've done the mold toxicity protocol. I take B12. I've done the iron water. I've done it all. And nothing would get it back to a normal range. And I can say I am now back, not only in a little bit of a normal range, I'm right in the mid normal range for both. And I was shocked when I got those results back, because I've tried everything. Nothing has worked except this water fast. So that's a teaser for two of my results. Next week, I'm going to talk about food. Am I eating more? Is my diet more expansive? Was I successful? And then I'm going to talk about those four other results and see what happens. And I also got my Marcon's tested again to see if the water fast was able to do anything with that. You're going to hear about it. Let's use me as a guinea pig. I'm your guinea pig. And let's see if this is the right fit for not only me again, but you. And I'm excited to tell you all these results. If you have gained any knowledge, insight, or comfort from these episodes, please support the podcast. Buy my water fasting journal, my UC ebook, my meditations, and donate. All the links are in the show notes. In my household, when we have a perfect shit, you know, when it slides out of your body, it's a perfect color and solidly formed, and you're so proud of yourself that you turn around the toilet and go, wow, we call that a green heart. I wish everyone a green heart day.